You're listening to DraftKings Network.
On April 26th, Boy Kills World. The must-see action movie event of the year hits theaters.
Yes! The Vanderkoys killed my family. Now, I'm gonna kill them one by one.
Critics are calling it Looney Tunes on acid.
You know how hard it is to get a cereal company to sponsor mass murder?
Weapons. Danger. Let's do this.
Bill Skarsgård in Boy Kills World. Only in theaters April 26th. Rated R.
This is the Dan Le Batar Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
Billy, I think that you're going to be disgusted by Jessica.
Ugh.
She ate a flavor of ice cream that made me recoil.
Mm-hmm.
It was not good, but it was not bad.
Is it poop?
It was poop. No, it was Kraft mac and cheese flavored ice cream.
It made you recoil? I thought you'd find that delightful.
Ooh. I'm a Velveeta man, so as you know, I always have some Velveeta on me.
It kind of tasted like if you took Velveeta cheese, like the brick of Velveeta cheese, added a cup of sugar and cream to it, froze it, and then ate it.
Love it.
Chris.
I mean, it sounds delightful.
Yeah, I tried it.
Well, was it?
Really? So, cheese ice cream flavor? Put it on the poll, please.
Let's ask the person who tried it.
Put it on the poll, Guillermo, at Le Batard Show. Does cheese flavored ice cream, mac and cheese flavored ice cream, sound delightful to you?
So here's the thing: when I first put it in my mouth, this is gonna sound like a Greg Cody saying "baby." All right, when I first put it in my mouth, at first it was cheesy, and I didn't like the frozen cheese taste. And then after a few seconds, it kind of got a little sweet and tasted a little caramely almost. So like the initial taste was bad, but then the secondary taste was good. So then I wanted to have a second piece. So I put a second bite in my mouth, and then I was like, ew, I don't want this. And then after a second, I was like, I kind of do want this. So I had this very like kind of, I wanted to keep eating it, but I didn't want to have to keep tasting it at first again.
You were Kyrie Irving of ice cream eaters. You just couldn't, you were erratic about, your choices were changing from second to second.
But Jess, they got it backwards. The initial taste needs to be great.
Right, exactly.
If it's not, I'm not getting to the secondary taste, you know?
Is this the aftertaste?
Yeah.
I've never heard of a secondary taste.
The aftertaste was fine. The aftertaste wasn't cheesy at all. But like Stugatz is saying, I think you need the first taste to be like really sweet. And then you have a cheesy, like you hit the cheese second.
Right.
Instead of hitting the cheese first and being like, ah, it's cheese. Because that's how it was. Like I put it in my mouth and I was like, ah, it's cheese.
I don't know. I feel like the aftertaste or the secondary taste, if you will, needs to be better for you to want more.
Well, that was the thing, because then I did one more, but then I put another bite in my mouth, and I was like, I don't want this.
Am I the only one saying to myself, how did you even get on the path where that sounded to you like a good idea? Like, where did this story start?
TikTok, probably.
No, it didn't start at TikTok, Billy. I happened to just be walking past an ice cream shop in New York this weekend, and I wanted to go in and get some pints of ice cream, because I love ice cream, and I went to the freezer, and I saw that there were two pints of this bright blue pint, the bright blue ice cream with yellow writing on it. And I was like, huh, it really captured my attention. So I picked it up, I looked at it, and it said Kraft mac and cheese. So I bought it because I was like, I'll try anything
once. You can't not buy that.
Yeah,
you can't. Yeah. Put it on the poll. Yeah.
Can you not buy Kraft mac and cheese ice cream?
You just got to. I mean, it's just like, let's get wacky tonight.
Yeah. Exactly.
Like, yeah.
Exactly.
Now let's get wild tonight. Yeah.
I cannot buy it, to be honest.
No, you'd buy it.
You would buy it.
You'd buy it.
Mike had the right reaction. You recoiled. Not a surprise. I like ice cream. I like mac and cheese. You put those two things together. I do not want them. I do not want frozen mac and cheese. I do not want creamy cheese that is ice cream.
Give me all the creamy cheese.
Yeah.
But it wasn't bad. Like, that's the thing. I kind of wish it had, like, chunks of pasta in it.
But
just for a little texture.
I don't imagine if I covered camel shit in cheese, it would be that bad, because cheese is delightful. cheese on anything is going to make it good.
Probably be bad.
I'm going to go on the other side of that take.
Yeah.
Just for the record.
Do you want me to get some camel shit and put a piece of cheese on it?
Access to this?
Add it to the grid.
Kit.
A camel shit sandwich? I mean,
why don't you just check with your fried mozzarella tech string and see what that turns up?
Mozzie crew.
I'm sure you've described certain restaurants as turd mozzarella sticks.
Mozzarella stick ice cream would be delicious.
Wow. And while we're on the topic, I would argue that you've all eaten something way more disgusting than mac and cheese flavored ice cream, or at least tried something more disgusting than mac and cheese flavored ice cream. Because I was getting a lot of judgment for trying this mac and cheese flavored ice cream that I feel like wasn't really earned.
Tripe. Tripe's the worst thing I've ever had. Mm. And it's the worst thing that's ever been put on the grid of death. Mm. It tasted like shit. That's not an exaggeration. People say that about, ooh, this tastes like shit. No, it tasted like a piece of shit.
And it had hair in it. It had hair in it.
Personal hairs, the texture. Oh, God. I just want to vomit just thinking about it.
What if we made tripe ice cream?
Trice cream.
We're going to go to the bucket of death here in a little bit. And the reason that we hate that thing is because, Mike, I just had sort of another recoil at thinking of you eating that tripe. Ooh. Because the texture of it, the color of it, the smell of it, and the fact that it had long, bristly lumberjack beard hairs in it that I wasn't understanding why they were in there. You were explaining to me, because I thought like the chef had left hair in there, but no. Tripe evidently can grow some strands of hair.
Yeah, it's like intestinal coating that helps process food. It was just so...
It was the worst.
Goddamn bad. And for someone like me, who has his memory tied to sense of smell mostly, you're triggering me right now.
Guillermo, put it on the poll, please, at Lebatard Show. Have you had tripe? And do you know anyone who has had who likes tripe, excuse me. Do you know anyone who likes tripe?
If you eat something that you generally like, okay? Like for me, it was General Tso's chicken. Am I pronouncing that correctly?
I think so.
Is it Chow's or Tso's?
I think it's so.
Okay. General Tso's chicken. So if you eat something that you like.
We had
like,
a real who's on first.
I'm glad I figured it out.
Yes, I think so.
But I still don't know whether it's so or so. He thinks so, but I don't know what's actually right. Do you know how to spell it?
How do you guys pronounce it? It's another Asian dish. P-H-O.
Pho.
It's like you're saying the F word, but you eject on the C-K.
Yes.
But I like calling it pho. I don't know. It's just
I like calling it General Tso's chicken. I just do.
I don't understand how you get there from that.
Okay.
Do you know how to spell it?
Chow.
Maybe you're just talking about something completely different.
Yeah. Is it TSO?
Are you thinking of an old USC offensive coordinator?
My larger point is, if you eat something that you like a lot, but you eat it one time, it's not cooked well, and it gives you food poisoning and makes you throw up the entire evening, are you ever going to eat it again? Because I haven't had General Tso's chicken in 25 years. I used to love it. I had a bad experience. I was up all night, and I have never eaten it again, and I never will eat it again.
Are you doing the lying show today?
No. I'm telling the truth here.
Put it on the poll.
Golden Palace.
At Lebatard Show.
Fort Boulevard.
At Lebatard Show, do you prefer honey chicken or General Tso's?
So.
I'm not sure you're right, Mike. I'm not making a joke here.
I'm like a dog with a bone on this one.
I don't totally.
I think so.
Okay, we'll go with so, but I like honey chicken better than that, and nobody believes you that you had a bad experience. You've been talking about this kind of chicken for 20 years here.
Right.
You've never told the story before of having a bad experience on it. You always bring it up as something that's delightful. Now we're talking about tripe, and you're bringing it up as the worst thing you've ever eaten.
It's a simple question. We don't have to pick apart my story. You like cheeseburgers. You like nachos. If you ate nachos and it gave you food poisoning and you were up all night throwing up, would you ever have nachos again?
I don't know.
You've never thought about this?
I have never thought about a life without nachos. Oh, no, man. I have not.
Do you guys all have something similar to what Stugatz is saying, that you just stopped eating because of a bad reaction? Because I do, and I'm wondering, how many bad reactions to it did you have before you gave it up? Because I'll give you an example of something that I did. I kept getting over and over again boneless wings that were frozen from TGI Fridays in the freezer section at Publix, and then I'd reheat them. Oh, delicious, but too spicy for my tum-tum every time I was in the bathroom for a long time. And then I'd wait like a month, and I'm like, you know what? Maybe it was an isolated incident. And I did it about six times before I decided, you know what? Let me stop eating this altogether.
Two separate incidents. Mangoes, when I was a child, threw up. Never had a mango again. Yeah, I had a bad mango. And a couple years ago, fish tacos. Had a bad fish taco. Threw up. Never had another fish taco ever again.
What? See what I'm saying?
In college, that happened to me with Rumpelmans, the peppermint schnapps that's 100 proof that I didn't know what 100 proof was.
See, that's a different situation.
Did you do the Rumpelmans shots where you pour the Rumpelmans and then the chocolate syrup, then you go, and then you swallow it?
I did not do any of that.
That sounds like
my every Wednesday night is that, yes. With a Hershey's, one of those Hershey's bottles. No, but I did not know that I thought peppermint schnapps were the lightest of the liquors, I thought, but I didn't know what 100 proof was. And so, yeah, just thinking about that makes my head swim a little bit.
I had a similar incident as you two with raw fish a couple years ago that left me, I couldn't go to work for like a week because I was throwing up so much. I had to go to the doctor and get anti-nausea pills. It was horrible. But I got back on the raw fish train pretty quickly after that. I just now, for some reason, if I'm ever about to go on a trip somewhere, I don't eat sushi for like 3 days before it, just in case. Like, I haven't gotten over that part of it.
She got on the raw fish train. Did you see that? It was moving real fast.
It's sows, by the way.
That's okay. So it's not so?
Well, it's chow for me, but it's sow for everyone else. And it's not so.
All right. I'm going to have to look this up myself because I don't know if you're doing the lying thing.
So he's looking it up.
It's T-S-O.
It's not T-S-A-O?
There's no A in it.
I thought there was an A in it. I thought there was an A in it.
It's T-S-O.
You're getting mad at the wrong person, though.
Yeah. But it's T-S-O. Did you put that spelling in?
Yeah.
Oh, you're doing a lying show. God damn it.
I'm not doing it today.
He's lying.
Perhaps. You never know.
This is the best punishment. Intentionally.
It's so great.
But what if he's not doing it today and then he comes in and does it next week? And this today he was just being a jackass the whole time.
No, I'm doing it today.
But that means you're not doing it, which means you...
I don't know.
That you're not lying. God.
General So. General So. General So.
Told you.
Thank you, YouTube, because you are doing a lying show.
If he is doing the lying show, he definitely came in not thinking he was doing the lying show, and the first words out of his mouth were a lie, and then
I always come in not thinking.
Ended up doing it somehow.
Perhaps.
Two guys here for my friends over at Simply Safe. Springtime is all about fresh air, fresh starts, and freshly cleaned homes, and it's the perfect time to give a fresh look at Simply Safe Home Security, the only home security system I use and recommend. I've had it in my home for many, many years. I love it. Springtime, to me, we love to travel, and I love the fact that no matter where I am in the world, I can keep an eye on my home thanks to Simply Safe Home Security. Simply Safe blankets your whole home in protection. It has sensors to detect break-ins, fires, floods, and more, plus a variety of indoor and outdoor cameras to keep watch over your property day and night. It's backed by 24/7 professional monitoring for less than $1 a day. Simply Safe has given me and many of my listeners real peace of mind. I want you to have it too. Get 20% off your system today when you sign up for Fast Protect Monitoring at simplysafe.com/DLB. That's simplysafe.com/DLB. There's no safe like Simply Safe.
We got a big birthday today, Stugatz. One of these echoing throughout the cosmos birthdays. We don't get them that often around here. Happy 54th birthday to Stephen A. Smith.
And happy birthday to him.
Right.
I don't care. Good luck.
The goat.
We've got to celebrate him bigger, though, don't we? We have to celebrate him. How do we make this something more special than just his voice? He's tired of his own voice. He's never tired of his own voice, but you know what I mean.
Two cakes.
Wow. Oh, wow.
Mac and cheese ice cream.
Yeah,
all night. Hey.
Mac and cheese cake.
Whoa!
Two tier.
I'm genuinely confused because that's the highest honor our show can bestow.
Mac and cheese
is
cake?
Playing the Stephen A. Smith sound. But you can't really play it for Stephen A. Smith. I think we actually did honor him in truly tremendous fashion at a live event in New York where we crowned him the GOAT broadcaster. Stephen A., in true Stephen A. form, did not see the humor in it.
He didn't think it was tongue-in-cheek. He thought we were making him the greatest announcer of all time, which we were.
He walked away with an oversized trophy.
We weren't, I was going to say.
Well, he earned it himself.
Yeah,
he made himself
the GOAT.
It was on the tip of everybody's tongue. We just gave it a name.
He just came in and thought it was redundant that we were naming him the great, because of course.
Yeah.
The greatest broadcaster of all time. Yes, you rang.
Yeah, and everyone was real nervous because we kept him waiting because the program was running long.
Do you think that's normal to him? Like, he just arrives places to receive awards and just moves on.
He was pissed that
he
had to wait 10 minutes to receive it. He was pissed. He was headed to a heavyweight fight, and he was not happy. In fact, I think you guys were on stage doing King Roy or something, and he was hitting that sponsored watch that they'd given him. He was tapping it and being like, hey, are you guys going to get me out of here? I got to leave.
Yeah, he wasn't supposed to be actually wearing the watch. It was just a prop that a partner said, hey, can you work this into the routine? And yeah, we can find a subliminal
way
to
do it. He was tapping it. It wasn't the routine. Backstage, he was tapping it.
Because he very clearly walked off with that watch. But nobody, that's his a testament to his presence. No one told him, hey, you can't take that.
Are you saying he was backstage? He had already put the watch on?
He stole our watch. He stole the sponsor watch. That was an expensive watch. Just thought that's the way it works. I show up places, you give me greatest broadcaster of all time and a watch, and then I leave. And I tapped my sponsored watch because you've kept me waiting 10 minutes.
I thought he would get the game, but apparently the game is if you honor me with the watch, I'm taking the watch.
That's his game. All right, watch.
Let's see if we can give him a bigger honor right now. Let's get a Heisman Trophy winner to celebrate the GOAT's birthday.
Welcome to Rickyology. Horoscopes. That nobody asked for.
I'm in the loftiest position that I've ever been in my career. It's not because of the money. It's because of the platform. And what I have done with that platform. My willingness to tackle issues. My willingness to make myself a target because I'm not worried about how people feel if I'm passionate enough in my heart about where I stand and how I feel. That puts me in the eye of the storm. Well, here's what that says to a lot of other subjects that you may be talking about. He's brave. He's fearless. He ain't scared. We can talk to him because if we are able to convince him that we're right and he sees our side of things, He won't be fearful in addressing it with the fervor it deserves.
So this theme that Stephen A. is going through is in my chart. It's branded inside my life story. So I definitely relate to it. Conscience, right? When your conscience speaks and what it says puts you in conflict with your external persona and what you're doing in the world. I mean, obviously, you know, he's got his comedic stick about smoking weed and all that stuff. And, you know, obviously, I disagree. But watching him as African-American outspoken person on air, I always thought he was, you know, he was walking a fine line. And I always had a question in the back of my head is that at one point he's going to have to choose sides. Because I would say the reason he's been so successful is because he's so liked. He can get away with more than most people. Because to me, I was always like, how can he get away speaking like this? And I was speaking from the athlete side. You know, there's the barbershop, right? There's a barbershop and everybody knows the conversation that goes on at the barbershop. And if you have a bad game, you know, if you're not at the barbershop, they're going to be talking about you at the barbershop, okay? But if you happen to come into the barbershop, they ain't talking about you that way. You know what I'm saying? From a distance, we can be upset that our team lost. But one-on-one, we have to respect that this athlete is a human being doing his thing. So if I'm coming back a little bit to astrology, he's a Libra. The gift of Libra is the ability to play both sides. You know, this idea of Libra wants everybody to like me. And because people like him and people are listening to him, he has the ability to help people understand each other. The planet Mercury, the planet of speech, is how we communicate how we see the world. And so his Mercury is at 14 degrees Scorpio. And what that means is Scorpio is about the truth, is about getting to the bottom and speaking the truth that nobody wants to hear, but everybody needs to hear. So from a cosmic perspective, you know, the universe would say Stephen A. is on this planet to speak uncomfortable truths, okay? But also he's a Libra, so he's on the planet for everyone to get along. And so the issue with Libra is you have to decide, do I take the easy way and help everyone get along, or do I take the difficult path and help people go through that dark night of the soul that they have to go through before they can truly get along? That's the question that's up. Right now, the planet Uranus, the planet of breaking the rules, the planet of listening to your heart, listening to that crazy voice inside, it's hitting that Mercury. And so the impulse that he's receiving is, you've been speaking a truth that you thought was yours, but actually is not. And you're being revealed now that the way you actually see the world is more controversial than you thought. And it comes up a lot in relationships where you know you have information that you could tell your partner. And if you tell it to them, there's a chance there's going to be a fight or argument. And you can either tell it to them or you could not say it. Right? And if you don't say it, everything is smooth and everything is peaceful for now. Those times where you notice something that you've never noticed before, a new piece of information comes in that just changes the way you look at everything, okay? And if you're someone who gets paid for what you say, how do you deal with that? That the new ideas that are coming in your mind, you know, are gonna rub the powers that be in the wrong way. And there's essentially two choices people can make. They can take that difficult path and speak their truth and probably get censured. The other is they don't say anything and they pretend that they didn't see it. And it's not a judgment by me, it's a judgment by the universe. The truth is we've all been conditioned, but as we become men, adults, women, we have to let go of our conditioning and we have to be our true selves, right? But here's the thing. It's like if you've gone on record saying the same thing over and over again, over and over again, it's hard once you realize what you were saying isn't true. It's hard to go back and say, you know, I see things differently now. And this is how that's really difficult to do. That's the inertia of the past, of the way we've been. And when we get new information that we're different than we thought, how are you going to deal with it? When you have to deal with it in a public forum. I want to be sensitive to the situation because I don't necessarily think he's doing it on purpose. And you know how it is. Like you have your thing and then it catches fire and it takes over. And right now, this is the pressure that the universe is putting on Stephen A. is you got to think for yourself. And the way you truly think is you think uncomfortable thoughts. And so that's a major theme he's trying to work out, is having the courage to put his neck on the line. And we've all had some version of that situation in our lives. Regardless if Stephen A. is aware of that or not, this is where he is, and he's been given a platform. And I think the big question that's going to stick with him for the rest of his life is, you know, what is he going to do with it?
He started looking old about 4 years ago. Alexander Ovechkin.
That Stanley Cup celebration. Yeah.
You know who didn't look old? Wayne Gretzky. And said he looked like...
He looked like a guy that has fake hair.
You remember Father of the Bride 2 when Steve Martin goes through his midlife crisis and starts dyeing his hair. The teeth, the hair, the tan. I mean, he's earned himself a lot of money. ESPN was even like, this is way too much money to pay a talent, which is rare for them. Unless you're like below that top tier. Either way, TNT shelled out the money, and he's not exactly super charismatic. It's hard for hockey players to be so, but he's the great one, and that's what that money buys you. literally the greatest hockey player ever, is just there. And we'll have our fun around him. Bring in Charles Barkley. I really hope Charles Barkley just does the NHL on TNT too, because he was the best part of that pregame show.
But you hire Wayne Gretzky just to sit there and be Wayne Gretzky. And that's enough. It's like if Michael Jordan wanted to do NBA analysis, you just hire him. Doesn't matter if he's good. Doesn't matter if he's bad. Michael Jordan's on your coverage.
I mean, Magic Johnson's gone through seven chances in different formats of just doing this.
ESPN did it with Emmitt Smith. He was terrible.
Jerry Rice.
They did it with Jerry Rice. He was just boring, but this is what Wayne Gretzky is. He's a head of beautiful hockey hair.
Jerry Rice said he was actually bored and realized very quickly that, hey, I don't need to do all this work. I could just go sign autographs and do a couple of commercials with Favre. I mean,
hey, they put arguably the greatest linebacker ever on television, Ray Lewis. Ultimately, I don't know in that sport, but you do have to be pretty good to stay doing it.
Dan Marino did it for years without being particularly interesting in any way. Did it, but of course that was CBS's coverage.
Right.
That was CBS likes to go now, and
now it's Boomer Esiason, Bill Cowher, and well, it's the same minus Marino.
Sims. Well.
Well, no, Sims is Marino, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nate Burleson is on that now. Man, he's having a hell of a
career.
He's
blown up.
Yeah.
Are you guys in any way serious about what you've been saying about Patrick Mahomes and him being a step slow or a step off or something being wrong? They are 2-3, and there was a big article in ESPN.com about turf toe. Mm-hmm. And for all the analysis that we do around these games, what the turf toe can do to ravage even the best composed of bodies or artists. You saw one of the throws to Kelsey early in the game. Kelsey was wide open and Mahomes threw it 10 yards over his head.
Yeah.
And it just looked weird. That's
because something's a little off. Okay, that's what we're trying to tell
but
you.
I'm asking you, because he's turning the ball over a little bit more,
mm-hmm.
but I'm asking you, has it escaped our attention that turf toe is a bit of a huge debilitator? Like, I know all the time you guys read the stories about, hey, the turf toe, if I take the use of your toe away, the functionality of it, I'm going to really alter what's going on with your ability to plant, to run, to throw the ball off of a plant when all of these throws start in the feet.
I'm willing to buy in that turf toe has him not playing at the level we're accustomed to, and he has certainly earned that right. Like, the last three seasons have been Hall of Fame level, some of the best quarterbacking we've ever seen. He has 6 interceptions already. He had 6 all of last season. I think what's off there, that defense, which has never been great, but it is really bad, Dan. And so you're asking Patrick Mahomes with turf toe and that offense to go up, and basically they have to score 40 points every single game. The defense is horrific. Really bad.
But did he just get turf toe again? Because he was dealing with this last year and was playing at a pretty high level.
Yeah.
So it just reemerged after he had surgery to deal with it?
Yeah, he had surgery in February.
I don't know.
I can't point to that as an indicator for poor play with Patrick Mahomes, because he's played pretty well with it. Teams are guarding him different. And I think the inaccuracy is because he's not taking the easy stuff. He's trying to make a lot happen and trying to cover for a really bad defense, as Sugat said. And Dan Orlovsky's been really good on this. But if you have a bad defense, the worst possible thing you could do is what Patrick Mahomes is doing right now, which is trying to end drives quickly or just ending drives with turnovers to bring that bad defense right back out onto the field. There are many times in Patrick Mahomes' offense where Clyde Edwards-Helaire is open all day. He has a receiver, a check down, available to him. The defense is daring him take the check down, and he's not. He's holding on to the ball, trying to make something happen, because he had his entire career.
Is this why you're accusing him of chasing the dragon?
It must be so hard for Patrick Mahomes to take what the defense has given him, because he was playing in football hedonism for 3 seasons. It has to be really impossible, because he knows he has the arm to do it. Every bad decision that he made, or questionable decision that he made, he went past it because of his arm talent. And now the defense, there's 2 high safeties all the time. We're not rushing you. We're daring you to take the four boring yards at a time.
Don't say all the time, because it wasn't but a couple of games ago that Tyreek Hill had almost 200 receiving yards and three touchdowns. That was Philadelphia.
That was Philadelphia.
But Dan, in two of the three losses, that defense has given up 38 points. So you're forcing the Chiefs offense to score in the 40s, which I don't care how great you are. You're not going to do that every single week. And the other loss, Herbert was just better. He was better.
They'll probably move the ball well doing the same things and maybe not even learn their lessons. This is actually not a great opponent for them, because it's probably going to reinforce bad habits. We told you ahead of that game, he'll do the same bleep against Philadelphia, but against elite defenses that he is facing, they're playing him one certain way and daring him to play clean football for 12 plays as opposed to three. And so far, he's proven that he can't do it. His interception numbers are right there with rookie quarterbacks.
I love the idea of the way that you actually cage Patrick Mahomes is just to tell him, okay, if you want to do it 75 yards in 16 plays, and it's not anything else. It's just, if you want to go ahead and do this 6 yards at a time and third and two at a time, and you don't want any of these.
Oh, he hates six yards at a time, man.
But 6 yards at a time is a great play. 6 yards at a time is a really good play, and that's going to bring the safeties at least closer. But he's not keeping them honest.
But 6 yards per play becomes boring when you're accustomed to 15 yards per play.
It becomes extra boring for the most exciting offense that we've seen this side of the greatest show on turf. It must be really difficult for that guy in particular to rein it in. That's why I think it's a fascinating case study. And he's got the arm talent to overcome it. He's displayed that. But the book is out on him. That's the NFL. They're going to adjust to you. Can he adjust back? What's the greatest thing? What's the greatest attribute you would assign Tom Brady, Dan?
Can you stop for a second? Because you keep saying this as if this is a closed case on the book is out on him. And I did just see him. I did just see Tyreek Hill do this. And you keep throwing Philadelphia in my face. Fine. That against the elite Buffalo defense, that was a very poor game. The last very poor game I saw Patrick Mahomes had was in the Super Bowl when he missed all his offensive linemen. I'm not quite ready to say it. 2-3. The book is done on him. It's 16 plays, 75-yard drives. You've figured out Patrick Mahomes.
He's on pace to throw 50 touchdowns,
Mike. He's going
to
have great numbers. But what is he on pace for the interceptions? Unprecedented for him.
Yes.
I'm not saying, there is a book on how to guard him. There have been books on how to guard Peyton Manning. There have been books about how to guard Tom Brady.
Audiobooks.
I'm not saying that it's not open and shut. Right. He's got to pivot. To my original question, what makes Tom Brady the greatest quarterback of all time when you line him up against his contemporary greats and you would take the arm of Aaron Rodgers? You would take the accuracy of Drew Brees over
him. I don't know what I would pick, whether it would be accuracy or decision-making or precision quickly. I don't know which one thing I would choose. It wouldn't be like leadership. It would be something.
His looks.
His looks, for sure. But it's not his mobility. So what does a guy that we can all admit didn't have a single trait greater than any of his contemporaries, yet he is certifiably the first name that comes to mind in that sport? And I would say it's because he didn't force the issue.
He takes what the defense gives him.
He plays boring occasionally, and he'll beat a defense into the ground until they give him what he wants, and then you'll kill him.
You think patience is the greatest?
It's not sexy.
Brady is not afraid of a 20-play, 80-yard drive that takes up almost an entire quarter. Patrick Mahomes has not gotten there yet.
I love the analysis. I really do. I love the analysis of the way to stop Patrick Mahomes is his ego. I love it as analysis.
Dan, you know he wants the big play. Every play. That's what he wants.
Chasing the dragon. It's why heroin addicts become heroin addicts, because the first high on heroin is always the best.
It's Tyreek Hill.
Yes.
The first high
is chasing that high. You're always chasing an 80-yard pass to Tyreek Hill. It's not always there. Mm-hmm.
This is just quite an analogy.
No, it's a great one.
Heroin is like a chest pass or like a no-look pass.
Have you ever thrown an 80-yard pass to Tyreek Hill? Do you know how addicting that must be?
It must be.
Seriously.
I don't know. I guess I haven't. You're right, Stugatz. Once I do that, I'll get back to you.
Stugatz has thrown so many of them. He can tell you about
it. No, but I've done heroin.
He's doing the lying show.
I hope at this point.
But the thing is, Dan, you will see Patrick Mahomes the way that you've enjoyed him. either they'll be a 9 and, well, I can't say 7 team anymore. Either they'll be like a 9-8 team and he'll get away with it against
this,
bad
this
teams.
This is going to take some adjusting here. If we can backtrack for just a second here. Are you still doing, I'm falling a little behind in football. I can't keep up with the names of the arenas. I'm still calling him the San Diego Chargers. Uh-huh. And you just saw what happened to me there, correct or no?
No. I wasn't paying attention.
Where were you? You were nodding. Is this the lying show for you?
Well, he clearly wasn't paying attention, but he admitted to not paying attention. So was he paying attention?
If he backs his way into doing the lying show unintentionally as his punishment, I'm going to be so mad.
I was thinking about doing it Monday, to be honest with you.
So you weren't thinking about doing it Monday?
I don't know.
But you do know.
He's scratching his arm. That's a tell. He's lying.
I'm nervous.
Yeah, he's lying.
So you're not nervous? Am I? Are you?
Or am I scratching my arm because this is next level stuff, or is it the heroin? Chasing it.
Chris Cody, I was laughing out loud. Finally, some fruit was born. A couple of months ago, I heard you leaving here saying you were going to do a renegade rebel infiltration of the Panthers energy team. You were very excited. You were giddy. You were soaked in anarchy. And I just saw the video moments ago of that execution. It was laugh out loud funny. You infiltrated the Panthers energy team and you looked. The physical comedy was funny. And you really seemed to enjoy bothering these people or pretending like you were a part of their dream.
I think I did well enough that I'm still kind of waiting for a call. Now, I know it kind of ends. I don't want to spoil the video if you haven't seen it yet, but it doesn't end great for me in the video. But I think, like you said, I brought the energy. So I still think I got a chance to make the team.
I like the idea. I can't think of anyone in our group funnier trying to execute this particular bit of espionage because these energy teams, I don't know, Stugatz, what you imagine tryouts to look like, but in this video, it's about what I imagine tryouts to look like. And so when Chris Cody is reaching into, he's on an ice rink and he's reaching into the core of his soul to jiggle his body so that he could feel the energy throughout his body, it felt a little cultish, a little strange, a little physically funny as well because it was Chris Cody out there and he was standing on ice and he was trying to infiltrate. You didn't look like anybody around you.
I feel like I fit right in.
Do you? Is that right?
I feel like I could be on an energy team.
I think so too.
Like it just fits my personality.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like if there was an energy guy in here, come on, like that's me. Yeah. Like, you know, let's go.
You
let's go, guys. Let's have a good show today.
Yeah.
Let's go.
You love that guy.
I don't got
You're
a shirt
right.
I can toss. Yeah. I love it. Let's right. do this.
You love a t-shirt cannon. Oh, yeah.
Man, not to spoil the video, but that was really the reason that I wanted to do all this. I've always just wanted to throw a t-shirt into a crowd.
And he thought he was Kelsey Plum. Like, he threw it into the upper deck.
Spoiler alert.
Spoiler.
Whoa, Jessica, we're telling
I'm trying
people,
to get the people to watch it. You got to give them a little something.
By spoiling it? No, that was
that
funny.
Wasn't the point of the video. Yeah. The ending would be spoiling it. Also, you know, Chris Whittingham over here with his 007 spoiler yesterday.
Oh, don't tell me,
that's
don't
a
tell
real
me,
spoiler.
Just deflecting.
She really is deflecting by taking out
Stating
Whittingham.
See, we won't spoil that. Does Chris reach the upper deck with a t-shirt? Find out.
That's how you're going to tease the video? Go find the video.
They should probably beef up their security a little bit, too, if we're really, giving notes on this. It was really easy for me to get in there.
Really?
Can you name a single other adjective that starts with a C? Ooh,
tough.
Cool Chris.
You went with Crazy Chris, right?
Charger
spoiler.
Chris.
Spoiler. Oh, Dan, spoiler.
Charger Chris.
Let's tell people where they can find it.
Charger.
Yeah.
Just on our YouTube channel.
Yeah. Where is that channel?
Levitard and Friends.
Yeah. And on our social media platforms, at Levitard Show on Instagram and Twitter, you can find this video out there. It's really good, and it honors puck dropping in South Florida.
Yeah.
Well, you guys are legitimately excited. Roy is back.
You didn't make it to the upper deck.
He's got a chooch. I mean,
it's not a chooch. A chooch gets that thing to the upper deck.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a spoiler alert. He didn't get it to the upper deck. We're giving it all away.
Yeah. Present day Mahomes right now.
Wow.
Wow.
Do you have turf toe?
Yeah. Show us your toe.
No, don't.
Do not. Do not. Please
he
do not.
He has his dad's feet. Don't do it.
I'm going to leave if you're going to do that.
No, wait. Say, talk about the Panthers.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. So, puck drop tonight. We got Aaron Ekblad back. That's huge. The Panthers defense is boisterous with his return back to the first line of the defensive pair.
Back.
And we have secured Alexander Barkov. So, this is going to be a big night. And we got the Penguins tonight. So, this is
Sergei.
So, we got our Horny playing his old team, Patrick Hornquist. So this is going to be a good game tonight.
While we're at it, just cleaning up for the week, Jessica, you want to give people an F1 minute from last week? You didn't get a chance to give anybody an F1 minute.
Well, I don't have a full minute, but I was very sad because Lewis Hamilton did not win the race, even though he basically got in a little bit of an argument with his team about whether or not he should pit because he wanted to stay on the same tires for the full race, and he ended up not staying on the same tires, and he pitted at the end, and he thought he gave up a few spots, so the Max Verstappen ended up getting in second, and Valtteri Bottas finished in first. So it was basically a great day for Red Bull. Red Bull's now, you know, vying for the championship with Mercedes, and Max Verstappen is now 6 points ahead of Lewis, or 7 points ahead of Lewis. So the end of the season is going to be great. And the next race, Dan, it's in the United States. It's in Austin. So coming home. It's coming home. F1's coming home.
It's going to be in Miami, Miami soon too, right?
I am so excited for the Miami Grand Prix next year, May 8th, 2022, the inaugural race here in Miami. It's going to be a great time. Hopefully DraftKings, we can get involved, do a little Metalark DraftKings paddock party. I don't know. I'm just throwing that out there. DraftKings, if you're listening, give me a call. And it should be a good time.
Dugatz here for my friends over at Simply Safe. Springtime is all about fresh air, fresh starts, and freshly cleaned homes. And it's the perfect time to give a fresh look at Simply Safe Home Security, the only home security system I use and recommend. I've had it in my home for many, many years. I love it. Springtime to me, we love to travel. And I love the fact that no matter where I am in the world, I can keep an eye on my home thanks to Simply Safe Home Security. Simply Safe blankets your whole home in protection. It has sensors to detect break-ins, fires, floods, and more, plus a variety of indoor and outdoor cameras to keep watch over your property day and night. It's backed by 24/7 professional monitoring for less than a dollar a day. Simply Safe has given me and many of my listeners real peace of mind. I want you to have it too. Get 20% off your system today when you sign up for Fast Protect Monitoring at simplysafe.com/DLB. That's simplysafe.com/DLB. There's no safe like Simply Safe.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.